The wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better. Wake them up, get them up, get them going. Cowboys on to round two, divisional round of the NFL playoffs. They win their first playoff road games in 30 years to this day, January 17th, 1993, the last time the Cowboys run a road playoff game in San Francisco. It's on this day 30 years ago. Obviously, last night they wipe out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What may have been Tom Brady's final game, we don't know. He was noncommittal afterwards. Cowboys roll 31-14. We'll run through the highlights and plenty of them for the Cowboys outside of their kicker, who had a rough night. Everything else looked pretty darn good for the boys in blue last night. Plenty of Cowboys conversation this morning. We'll also talk Sean Payton, that interview with the Texans yesterday. We now know who's all headed to the NFL draft because yesterday was the last day to make it official, and a number of players did, including a couple of TCU Horned Frogs. We'll talk college basketball as well. Longhorns playing a really tough road test tonight, part of a big-time Big 12 doubleheader of college basketball. So a lot to do. 4 hours of fun and conversation begins right now on a Tuesday morning. That'll feel like a Monday for a lot of folks out there who took the MLK Day holiday off and are ready to roll as we get you going right here on B&E. Appreciate you being there on 104.9, maybe 101.9 FM, AM 1260. Always streaming on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and always Mr. Godbolt at hornfm.com.
Good morning. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas. The soldiers in the state of Texas and all those that fight for us each and every day, thank you so very, very much for what you do. It is appreciated, and we appreciate it each and every day. It's going to be another beauty here in the capital city.
Yeah, man. Gosh, yesterday was fantastic.
Lots of sun today,
80 degrees. Yeah, and yesterday was plenty of it as well. Hope you got to get out and enjoy MLK Day and some of those celebrations, and enjoy yourself today the same. Yeah, 80 degrees and sunny. Just maybe some wispy clouds out there.
Get ready for some rain here over the next couple of days afterwards, though.
Is it coming?
It's a coming. We need it.
We probably do.
Yep.
We probably do. Do the Cowboys need a kicker? We'll get into that. They certainly looked good in all phases last night. You were on point with this game. You had the Cowboys by double digits, and they were locked in. Dak Prescott played a heck of a game. The defense was locked in, and Tom Brady and the Bucs just look like they've looked this
all
year.
Yeah, that's just
a mess.
Them.
I mean, is there any doubt? And we'll talk a lot about the Cowboys and what they did well last night. But, I mean, they miss Bruce Arians. This team looks poorly coached. They don't really have much of a game plan. The Byron Leftwich offense with Tom Brady, I mean, it's a mess. I mean, if that's Tom Brady's final game or final game in Tampa, it wasn't a great one.
I think it's his final game in Tampa.
Well, look, I think the Cowboys, and we'll get into the headlines of how they did it, but they were, you know, we talked a lot yesterday, if you were with us, and not out enjoying MLK Day, most impressive teams of the wild card round. I mean, San Francisco certainly was. The New York Giants certainly were. And the Cowboys are in that conversation because they were really impressive in all phases. Tampa Bay, I thought, was the lamest team we saw all weekend. I mean, I don't know that we saw a team play. I mean, even Seattle, I thought, put up a tougher fight to San Francisco. Tampa just looked disorganized. They looked Tom Brady, the interception he threw in the end zone, where I think he was just trying to throw the ball away. He couldn't even get that done. He looked like he was checked out in this game. Got to give the Cowboys credit, but at the same time, you can see they just don't look like a playoff team. And you know, under 500 in a bad division, maybe that's just part of of the deal.
I just think that's just a part of what Tampa was all year long.
Yeah,
I mean, they're in a bad division. You know, their record indicated that they played in a bad division, and you know, Tom Brady's 45 years old. I mean, it's just not it's coming towards that time. I mean, he can move on to another team, but that time will just start catching up to you, I got to believe.
Yeah. Well, and you know, they didn't run the ball. They don't try to run the ball.
No, they didn't try.
And
they couldn't last night, and the Cowboys did a fantastic job. It was, you know, Van Der Esch was really tough in the middle again against the run. They missed him. They've missed him over the course of those weeks where you started to say, man, people are running against the Cowboys. Well, they missed 55 in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, he's around the ball. I mean, he does make things happen. I don't think he's great in the pass game, but in the run game, he throws his body in there. That's why he's injured, you know, his neck, his back, his shoulders. He throws himself into the fracas, and I like the way he does that. And I just thought last night they came out with, like you said, the exception of the kicker. That was – and my wife was so funny. She said, did he just say, what the heck was that? No, I said, that's not what Dak said on the sideline. That's not – it wasn't what the heck.
He didn't say heck.
No, it wasn't heck.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to figure that out because Brett Maher seems to have a case of the yips.
I mean, oh, he's got all this week. I'll be on that in that field, way away from everybody.
I don't know, though. I mean, can you risk it going into San Francisco? I mean, anybody that's ever had the yips, and it is a typical – you see it with athletes sometimes that can't throw the ball from – home plate to the pitcher, or they can't throw the ball from second base to the first baseman.
Yeah, dude, that first one was so far to the right. I mean, it was.
Well, remember, he missed
it was 20 yards from the pole.
Remember, in their regular season finale against Washington, they scored one touchdown and he missed that extra point. He shanked it. So that's the stuff. I mean, he can make every kick all practice, all week long in practice. If he gets in the game and you're playing San Francisco, do you trust this guy? And that's, you know.
Well, I don't know if I bring you. I
feel bad for the guy because we see it happen in sports sometimes where a guy just kind of loses it for a stretch.
He just needs to put one through the uprights, whether it's an extra point or not.
He did last night on the fifth touchdown, and maybe that settles him down. But, man, I don't. If I'm Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, Mike McCarthy, I'm thinking long and hard this week because this is going to be a tough game, obviously, in San Francisco. Every point will matter. Every opportunity to score will matter. And if you have a field goal kicker who's just. He's doubting himself, and he's not sure. I mean, these are extra points. I mean, these are 25 yards.
Well, I just feel
and they weren't close.
Yeah, I feel like next week is just going to be the it's going to be the same as I felt this week about the Cowboys beating, beating Tampa. I don't think the Cowboys can beat San Francisco. I don't think they're still physical enough.
Well, and part of that is what I saw from the Buccaneers last night. It's why I'm talking about with Tampa. They're a bad team, but Byron Leftwich running that offense is predictable. They're in the same formations all the time. There's not a lot of confusion they create with what their offense is.
They don't use a lot of motion.
Yeah, I mean, it's stale. And Cowboys knew when they were going to run, and they swallowed it up. And Tom Brady kept trying to throw those routes right across the middle, those little slants. I mean, it's obvious what they're trying to do, and they do it over and over again. Tom Brady threw the ball 66 times last night.
It's way too many.
I mean,
Dak only threw 35 times, which that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, Kellen Moore called a great game.
He called a great game. By the way, they didn't spend any of their time trying to run inside on Tampa.
No.
They took the ball and got to the perimeter with their speed.
They did. I loved what Kellen Moore did last night, and we talked about that a lot yesterday. What do you want to see from the Cowboys? You want to see them look sharp, crisp, look like the Giants did against the Vikings.
Look like
the
Niners, like they know what to do against a Tampa Bay team that's not good. And they did.
They did. They weaponized their weapons. I mean, Dak was tremendous. And two touchdowns for Dalton Schultz, who's really come on here in this second half of the season. CeeDee Lamb scores a touchdown. You get Tony Pollard going. They probably have to run the ball a little bit better, but you're right, this 49ers team, different animal. Give credit, though, to the NFC East, the Cowboys division, first division since 2002 to have three teams into the divisional round. Giants will play the Eagles this weekend. The Cowboys, of course, will play in San Francisco. The Niners, the one team not from the NFC East that is still in the playoffs, which is pretty incredible. That hadn't happened in 20 years to have a division with three teams in the final four of the conference playoffs. So a lot to talk about. We'll get to it with you. We got a big game tonight in basketball with the Texas Longhorns to talk about. But if you're the Cowboys, you have to at least consider bringing in a kicker. I mean, I know that seems harsh, but watching that guy last night, Buck, we've seen this with athletes. It just when you lose it, you just lose the confidence. And again, if you can go out and go 100 for 100 in practice and make all those kicks, it really is going to come down to game time and making a kick when it really matters. And I don't know if you can trust that right now with this guy. I know he made his final one, but the stakes are too high. And it's almost like you feel bad for the guy. You hate to see it happen for a player or an athlete in any sport. But we see it in golf. We've seen it in baseball. You see it, I think, in all sports. And I would be concerned. I would be concerned if I'm the Cowboys because I don't care what happens in practice this week. It's going to be about what happens when the game is gone, the lights are on. That's when you need to make every single kick.
Yeah, you're going to need every point you can get in this football game. But – man, those touchdowns were mattering. But that extra point, man, oh, man. Four of them?
Four in a row. The first one went wide right. The next one went wide right. Then he tried to come back, and he hooked it to the left.
Wow.
And then he came back and hit one up off the upright to the right. And he finally made one. And you saw Dak Prescott on the sidelines cussing. Why don't we go for blank and two? Why aren't we going for two? Because, I mean, everybody in the building knew, okay, well, if Tom Brady gets hot, you know, every one of these points, when it was 18 to nothing, and you're thinking, oh,
I was thinking the whole time at 18, I'm like, you needed to be 21 badly.
Well, and, you know, the points that Tom Brady gave away when he threw that interception in the end zone early, you know, they were still in the game at
that
point.
Yeah, that double clutch. But those were nice. Those were drives. Those 80-yard drives were nice. 13 plays, 80-some yards.
Well, that was their best drive of the half, and he throws it right to J-Ron Kearse. And, you know, I think he was trying to throw it away. I think he was just trying to throw it out of the back of the end zone. He just didn't throw it far enough. It's like, come on, Tom, what are you doing here? I got to think, watching that game last night, Buck, I mean, we had the story yesterday that the Vegas Raiders are going to come hard after Tom Brady this offseason because
they've
said adios to Derek Carr. Derek Carr is going to be moving on. They're going to try to trade him before February 15th. I'm watching that game. If I'm Josh McDaniel thinking, is he still – and it's possible that he's just kind of grown stale with Byron Leftwich. And the whole thing, as you said, they've been a poorly coached team this year. The defense – look, a lot of those players that you're watching for Tampa, those are they just won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. A lot of the same guys, it just looks like a shell of the team. And maybe some of them have gotten up there in years or whatever. At the same time –
well, your offensive line is so bad.
Well, I mean, they had the center back for the first time. They had as healthy an offensive line as they've had. They just don't look like a very well-coached football team. And that's going to fall – on Todd Bowles, that falls on, I think, Bruce Arians being not there all year long, bringing that edge, bringing that game plan, bringing the offensive expertise. It all showed up over the course of a season. That's a different team, even with Tom Brady at the helm, and the Cowboys took advantage of that. They were clearly the dominant side in that football game.
I thought they played so well on defense. I know there wasn't much
love what Dan
there was
Quinn's
not
doing.
Much of an obstacle to it, but my goodness, they couldn't run the ball a lick. They didn't get it done inside. Micah Parsons was coming. The guy was playing everywhere last night.
Yeah.
And when I saw Vander Esch playing defensive end on a pass rush one time, I was like, oh, no, you don't want to. Don't make this a habit. I know you want to change things up a little bit. But number 55 as a defensive end, let's not see a lot of that again. The tackles got on him, and it was like, you're talking about a guy who was pinned. He's not used to playing out there. That must have been a weekly thing. I don't think I've ever seen him out there as a defensive end. Coming from the outside as a pass rusher like that? I mean, he wasn't in between anybody, like inside a tackling guard area. He was outside. He was a wide outside rusher. And when he came down, there was no movement to it. They just grabbed him and said, that's it. But on the inside, when he played inside and they tried to run against him, he did a great job. Like I said, they've missed him. And Micah Parsons and everybody on that defensive line, I thought, played well last night.
Well, the whole defense was locked in and knew their assignment, played it well.
We did see Xavier Rhodes later, and I don't want to see him again.
Yeah. Look, obviously we know San Francisco will be a different animal. We'll have all week to preview that ball game. The Cowboys are installed as an early underdog in that football game, and I think rightfully so. The Niners have won 11 straight games. But at the same time, the Cowboys are coming out of a great division. If Dak can play turnover-free football like he did last night, you know, Dak throws four touchdowns. He has no picks. Runs for another.
Are you sure? Can we recount anything? Are we sure that he didn't throw a pick?
Didn't he? I don't think he
really
came close. And that's why I even tweeted this last night. I mean, does Todd Bowles watch film? They weren't doing any of the same things defensively that the Redskins or the Commanders were doing the week previous. It's almost like you watch that game, and I know Dak played a bad game. I know the Cowboys had a bad game last Sunday, their worst game of the year. But wouldn't you try to implement some of the things that they were doing that were confusing? I mean, they were just playing this soft zone the whole night.
And it was soft, too.
It was really soft, and Dak was able to get comfortable. And then,
nice. The tight ends got off the ball easily.
Well, the first two drives, Dak struggled, right? He was 0 for his first three. They were going backwards.
The game was moving real fast for both teams, both offenses.
And that's where you thought, okay, well, this is gonna settle in and be a kind of a grind. And, I mean, you got to get Dak going. And that's why I criticized the Buccaneers and Todd Bowles. At that point, Dak figured out they were just playing this soft zone. They weren't going to do anything exotic in coverage. They weren't going to try to confuse him. And he just started taking the checkdowns. He just started hitting his backs. He just started getting some rhythm going with what they were doing offensively. And it really was like the Buccaneers never adjusted to it. And that's where, I mean, gosh, take what Ron Rivera and Washington did a week ago and copy some of that. Never did. And I don't know. As a fan, I was just hoping for a better football game because that wasn't even competitive.
Well, that's just a great comeback by Dak Prescott.
It was.
For all the things. Yeah, I mean, that was
well, you know, looking forward,
fantastic.
I would just say this. Don't get a false sense of security because the 49ers and DeMeco Ryans this week, they will have something. It won't be as easy as it came last night.
It won't be as easy for Purdy either.
No, I agree, 100%.
It'll be different for him, too.
Well, that's obviously becomes the key to the next matchup is can Dan Quinn and the Cowboys defense, you know, create an opportunity for Brock Purdy to struggle, right? Because he hadn't done it yet. Brock Purdy's undefeated. He's 6-0 as a starter. He had a turnover-free performance last week in his first playoff game. So that becomes the challenge for Dan Quinn, is to put that game in his hands and make him make some big throws in big spots and not let, you know, Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey become, you know, just get comfortable. And that becomes the challenge, which defensive coordinator can slow down the opposing quarterback in the next round. So that'll be coming up on Sunday. It's the fourth game of the divisional weekend, which, as you know, on the show of the people, then is my favorite weekend of the NFL season, Buck. You get four games. You get, you know, two games Saturday, two games Sunday. The riffraff is gone. Yep. No more Buccaneers. No more Dolphins. Get the class. You got four division winners in the AFC. You got three teams out of the NFC East and the NFC, along with the 49ers, who have been the best team second half of the year and have been really good.
I mean, dare I say I'm excited about the Giants beating the Eagles.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I would heavily favor the Eagles in that matchup for sure. Hey, real quick, can we get the headlines, get those knocked out? Because our man T.Y. is having to run back and forth and do some dirty work, but that's behind the scenes. Let's hit the headlines real quick, T.Y. UBO Business Services, obviously it's in the NFL. Already talked a lot about it. Cowboys rolled into Tampa and laid a beatdown on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, 31-14, to wrap up Super Wild Card Weekend. Dak nearly flawless last night, 305 in the air, four touchdowns, ran for a fifth, led Dallas to their first playoff road win in 30 years. First ever win over Tom Brady. Buccaneers didn't score any points until late in the third quarter when the game was well in hand for Dallas. Most importantly, Prescott played a turnover-free game. That snapped a seven-game streak with at least one interception. Dallas now 5-0 this season when they don't commit a turnover. That'll be a key moving forward. As we say, the only negative for Dallas last night was their complete meltdown from their kicker, Brett Maher. He missed four consecutive extra points before making one after the fifth touchdown. Certainly be of concern as they head to San Francisco this weekend. Also from the NFL, Sean Payton completed an interview with the Houston Texans yesterday. And in an interview on the radio ahead of their meeting, the former Saints head coach said he absolutely would consider coaching in Houston, loves their draft capital, likes the division that they're in, and says he is friendly with the ownership group and Kyle McNair. Also reportedly has interviewed with Denver and Arizona. We'll keep you posted on that front. One coach who is not jumping to the NFL will be Jim Harbaugh. Yesterday, the University of Michigan president tweeted that he spoke to Harbaugh, who confirmed he would be returning for his ninth season at his alma mater in Ann Arbor. Also yesterday, that was the final day for draft-eligible players coming out of college to declare their intention to enter the NFL draft. Two of the top names made it official yesterday, including Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud. He is done at Ohio State and headed to the NFL. Also, a pair of TCU Horned Frogs made it official, Quentin Johnston and their running back Kendre Miller, and the USC wide receiver Jordan Addison also declared for the draft. College basketball, following their 18-point comeback win over TCU and their 12-point comeback win over Texas Tech last week, Texas Longhorns moves up three spots, number seven in this week's AP Top 25. 15-2 Longhorns are 4-1 in the Big 12. They're 8-1 under acting head coach Rodney Terry, and tonight they will face their biggest road test to date. They're traveling to Ames, Iowa to face 12th-ranked Iowa State. Cyclones are also 4-1 in Big 12 play. They actually moved up two spots in this week's poll after their close loss at Kansas on Saturday. Game will tip at 8 o'clock tonight. You'll hear it live here on the Horn. That goes pregame at 7:30. Speaking of those second-ranked Jayhawks, they're going to be at 13th-ranked K-State tonight in the Dandy. That one tips at 6 o'clock. That's part of a tremendous Big 12 doubleheader of hoops. Speaking of hoops, Houston Rockets, the only one of the Texas three in action last night in the NBA. They lost to the L.A. Lakers in L.A. 140-132. But LeBron James, season-high 48 points, had 9 assists and 8 rebounds to lead the Lakers to a win over Houston.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Like I said, I love the way the Cowboys got to the perimeter on this team. I don't know if they can get to the perimeter in San Francisco, because I think that's going to be a problem, because Dalton Schultz holds every time. He's actually playing a real tight end position when they toss the ball outside.
Yeah.
They got him once last night, but he had about three others where he just had the jersey. And Pollard's so damn fast. I mean, on that toss sweep, he gets there so quick. It's almost like he's already understanding where he needs to go. And he beats guys to the perimeter so quick. I mean, it's always like at least a three or four yard toss sweep, no matter what, with him, with just his speed alone. So I'm pretty sure that Kellen Moore is going to think about sending guys in motion, maybe putting a bigger tight end there in motion, because they can't afford to get holding penalties if that's what they're going to try to do.
And those 10-yarders will kill you against the 49ers.
Yes, they will.
Well, that's the thing with the Niners, right? I mean, the Bucs played like they have all year, and I thought they played maybe even worse than they have this year. They were really lousy, and the Cowboys forced a lot of that. 49ers are a different animal. We know that. They're excellent on offense. They're excellent on defense. They're well-coached. They'll be creative with what they do. You know, that is a challenge for sure. But give the Cowboys credit. I mean, this was a team who the pressure was on them. And, you know, last year in Mike McCarthy's first, you know, playoff game as the head coach of the Cowboys, they were lousy. They looked, you know, just undercoached. All the penalties last year.
No, they were
bad
well
clock
prepared
management.
Last night.
Last night was a crisp-looking team. That was what was exciting. And, you know, if you're drawing the parallels, we did it all last week. The Cowboys are the 5 seed. The Rams won the Super Bowl from the 5 hole last year. And they opened up on the road on a Monday night in Arizona, and they took advantage of a really bad Cardinals team. And, you know, maybe the Cowboys are following that same path. And as somebody has texted, you know, if you're right, Buck, and the Giants do beat the Eagles, that would also be the same path as the Rams, because if the Cowboys were to beat the Niners and the Giants were to beat Philadelphia, the Cowboys would host the NFC Championship game in Jerry World as the 5 seed. Of course, the Giants would be the 6 seed. That is exactly the path the Rams took a year ago. Let's also continue that parallel. The Rams also had a quarterback in Matt Stafford who led the NFL in interceptions in the regular season and then got hot in the postseason.
Yep.
And so it can happen, and I thought the Cowboys looked the part last night of a team.
Were you worried in those first two series?
Oh,
I
yeah.
was. I looked at him, I said, man, guys, slow down, Dak, slow down a little bit. You look like you're moving way too fast.
Well, they were going backwards.
Yeah, I mean, they were.
Every play was a negative play.
He was dumping the ball off so quick, going through their hand. I mean, he threw the ball hard early.
Yeah, they were just trying to throw a screen pass to CeeDee Lamb, and he threw like 1,000 miles an hour, and it was out in front of him. It was like, wait a second, what are we doing here? But he settled in.
The softer that zone got back there, the more it was like, guys, look at that tight end. Look at this. Look at this two deep zone. Look at the middle of this field.
Yeah, that was a good team playing a bad team. It was not too dissimilar than what we saw last Monday night with TCU playing Georgia.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, it did. And that's where, as much credit as you give to the Cowboys, you have to take into note that the Bucs were pretty darn bad last night at every level. And the Cowboys were really good at every level, and that's what happens. And if not for the kicker, I mean, this is a 35-0 beatdown, essentially, is what that was. The late touchdown and hardly matters. Game was well decided. When the Cowboys went up 31-6, I mean, come on, the game was out of hand.
Yeah, I was not feeling good when it was 18. I'm like, those extra points, I'm thinking, come on. Give me back my
point shaving. Come on.
Right. Yeah. Well, there was, you know, we'll talk about it. We'll get T.Y. involved coming up. We'll also get you involved. We'll preview this big basketball game tonight. Excited to sit back and watch a nice doubleheader of Big 12 hoops tonight. Kansas State, Texas, and Iowa State. These are the top teams in the conference. They're all 4-1 or undefeated. Be good to see that this evening. And we'll certainly talk about the games there. We'll hear from Sean Payton. He says he absolutely would consider coaching the Houston Texans. He'll tell you why. Coming up on that, is there a chance that could happen? Also, Sean Payton discussed what the compensation may be for whichever team wants to hire him, and would you go there if you're the Houston Texans? We'll dive into those conversations as well. Cowboys, first playoff win on the road in 30 years. That's pretty incredible that their last road playoff win was on this day, 30 years ago, January the 17th. They beat the San Francisco 49ers 30-20 in the NFC Championship game as Troy Aikman outdueled Steve Young in that football game 30 years ago. They certainly, one day earlier, got it done last night in Tampa as they outdueled Tom Brady and the Bucks. We'll come back. B&E with you. Just getting warmed up on a busy Tuesday. Glad you're with us on the Show of the People.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Goal to go from the three. And Prescott's going to throw it in the left side of the end zone. And it's Gallup behind the defender. Touchdown. Touchdown, Cowboys.
You know, one of four touchdown passes for Dak Prescott last night. Also ran for a fifth as the Cowboys score 5 touchdowns, and their kicker only made one of the 5 extra points. That's of concern, but other thing else was pretty sharp for the Dallas Cowboys on the road at Tampa. They get a dominant win over the Buccaneers in what may have been Tom Brady's final game, or just his final game as a Buccaneer. What do we think?
See you in Vegas, baby.
See you in Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Oh, is that where Tom Brady's going?
He's
going
to have a blast in Vegas.
He, after the game, was pretty down and just gave the whole one day at a time thing. One day at a time. We'll take it slow.
Yeah, he's got some visitation deals he's got to go do now.
Yeah, been a long season. But,
yes.
Yeah, obviously the Cowboys got the lead in that game. And then Tom Brady, 66 passes. He threw 66 passes last night. They handed the ball to Leonard Fournette 5 times.
He wasn't going anywhere.
That seemed to be a poor game plan. But the Cowboys forced that. But even when the game was 12-0, they abandoned any idea. And I know this is what they've done all year. This is what they are. Cowboys will see a different animal on Sunday in San Francisco. But, you know, Cowboys looked the part. Looked the part last night. That's what you wanted to see, was a team that was buttoned up. Remember last year in the playoff loss of the Niners, it was, you know, 13 penalties. They were just all over the place as a team, and this looked poorly coached. I didn't think any of that was the case last night. They looked sharp. They looked well coordinated on both. I mean, outside of the first two drives offensively, they were really good. And then on defense, Dan Quinn has that team playing fast again. And they were really good on that side of the ball.
And everybody in the defensive line played well.
I agree.
It wasn't a one guy show yesterday. It really was everybody involved on the defense.
Well, they got some guys healthy, like Hankins.
Yeah. I mean,
he showed up with a sack yesterday.
And Kurtz got hurt.
He did. Something to watch. Jayron Kurtz kind of limped off the field at the end of the half. Was that happened? I'm trying to think when that happened.
It was towards the end of the game.
It was actually Micah Parsons who limped off at the end of the half when he hit his shin.
Well, he's always got that
leg whip thing going.
Hammy or groin or something. He was
playing through it in the second half. He didn't look like he was hurt at all.
He was fantastic last night.
Yeah, Jayron Kurtz, that'll be one to watch as the medicals come back. Because the Cowboys, I mean, that's going to be the one thing. I know there are a lot of people in and around the NFL that aren't fans of having a Monday night playoff game, because now you have a short week to go to San Francisco. And the team you play has already had a day off, and now you got to travel back home. And, it's a disadvantage to that team. But at the same time, Rams did it last year on their way to winning a Super Bowl. So it can be done. They flew home last night. Everybody will come in on a Tuesday, and you already got to get ready for Sunday's game. We'll see what Jayron Kurtz looks like. Can we hear from Mike McCarthy in the victorious locker room? His first playoff win as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It was a sharp one. Here's how it sounded from Big Mac after the Cowboys get a 31-14 dominant win at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I tell you, you got to just really feel great about the whole week and leading in there. I mean, the confidence you had in there, we did exactly what we had to do. And I love what J.K. said at the beginning. There ain't nothing else to say. Let's just keep doing it. All right, great job. We got a wonderful plane ride home, but you know when we touch down, we're on to the 49ers.
Okay? Sir.
We're on to the 49ers. So great job. So proud of you. Outstanding. All right, let's enjoy this. Enjoy this plane ride. Let's celebrate one another. Love one another. Outstanding.
Hey, let's go. Be great on three. One, two, three.
Be great.
All right, there you go. Cowboys were great last night. There you go. That's rousing.
Hey, got me going this morning.
That speech happened yesterday, and today is the 30-year anniversary of the how about that Cowboys, Jimmy Johnson.
Was that win over San Francisco?
Oh yeah,
yeah. That was on their way to their first Super Bowl. They won 3 in 4 years, and the 30 years ago was the 92 season, 93 game, January 17th over San Francisco. They went on and won the Super Bowl, beat Buffalo. And they come back, won it again. Then, of course, the whole Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones drama. And then they won it one more time with Barry Switzer. But
I'll take this team one game each week.
Yeah.
Take them that way. And that's, you know, last night was just a great example of paying attention to everything involved. They took advantage of what the defense gave them. They used their tight ends just unbelievably. That two deep coverage was just, there was such a big, massive hole in the middle of the field. And Dak threw it over the linebackers who, you know, they got two guys that can actually run. But, I mean, they floated the ball really well. But they didn't get into the zones. And they let Dalton Schultz go from every position, whether he was standing up or at a regular tight end position. He went straight up the field, a little head shake, and he was loose. That was a good job by Dak. I mean, that really, I thought they had a really great game plan. And I'm still trying to figure out why the ball is so much out to the perimeter. They didn't want to spend their time trying to get through.
Well, that's
the big guys
that's the
in
best
the
part of the with Vita Vea in there. That's the best part of the Bucs defense. Their linebackers in that interior, and why bust your head up in there?
Mm-hmm.
And they have the speed and the
they
ability
started
to
the
get
game
to
getting
perimeter.
Outside.
They do, and that's one of the when they go to those extra tight end sets and they put two and three tight ends on the field. They really do want to get wide. They like the athleticism of their line.
Yep,
they can get wide, but that's the challenge when you play San Francisco now, because they defend the perimeter very, very well. They're one of the fastest defenses in this league. And it won't be as easy as it was with the Bucs.
No.
Because that's, as we talked about yesterday with the Giants going into Minnesota, I mean, you just came out of that game thinking, okay, the Vikings, the Giants were good. But the Vikings are just a bad, poorly coached football team. I mean, at the end of the day, with receivers running wide open, the coverage was lame, the coaching was bad, and that's where Kevin O'Connell is going to have to answer some questions in Minnesota. I think Todd Bowles might be on the hot seat in Tampa Bay. You know, when you're playing San Francisco, I just love this matchup because I think, you know, Cowboys maybe got that stinker out of their system against the Washington Commanders because they played the kind of football it's going to take. They're well coordinated on offense. They're well coached on defense. And I think you can say exactly the same about the 49ers because we know Kyle Shanahan's as good as it gets in this league of game planning and play calling and using his weapons. And then defensively, DeMeco Ryans, their defensive coordinator, is one of the top young coaching candidates out there. He coordinates a heck of a defense that's really good at every level. So this is a heavyweight matchup that we'll get on Sunday afternoon. It's the fourth of the four games, the final one, Sunday afternoon, the late window, much like it was 30 years ago today when Jimmy Johnson's Cowboys beat, who was it, George Seifert's 49ers that day? George Seifert?
George Seifert,
yep. Had Seifert taken over by then? Because that was a Steve Young-led team, and we know that's why Jimmy Johnson was so excited about how about them Cowboys, because the 49ers were the dominant team at the time, and the Cowboys beat them and moved on, and of course they became the dominant team over the next three or four years, taking that away from the 49ers.
I'll tell you what, you can play a good game when your best players are willing to sacrifice when they're on the field. And I thought guys like Michael Gallup yesterday, when they were on the outside, when they were getting to the perimeter, you're talking about blocking and staying on guys. I mean, they did such a good job. I mean, T.Y. Hilton gets his couple catches in the game. But the best guys are willing to block. I mean, their number one wide receiver is out there blocking on the perimeter. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't just going down and going through the motions. That was an all-out team effort last night.
I think it was. It was crisp. It was sharp. It's what you wanted to see. And, you know, they didn't dominate in the run game. They ran for 128 yards.
That's
the best
enough.
Runner was Tony Pollard with 77. You know, Zeke Elliott had 27 yards rushing. And, of course, Dak had his one run and a touchdown.
What a great bootleg call.
That was a great call. And going forward on fourth down, that was gutsy to go ahead and get that touchdown and not settle for a field goal. Again, the kicker will become a conversation they're going to have. I guess you can go into San Francisco. I would be concerned. I would bring in a kicker this week just to be, I don't know, could you carry two kickers into a playoff game just in case? Because, Wayne, what if you show up in San Francisco on Sunday, all of a sudden he misses his first extra point, all of a sudden it's back in his head. He looks like a guy who's got the yips. He's doubting himself.
I would give him, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to now pull a guy off the streets from the Burger King, you know, working at BK's to start kicking for
you. I mean,
did you
hear Peyton Manning's take on it last night?
I didn't.
Just go for two?
No, he was like, how can kick, like, if you're going to be a professional kicker, how can you miss? He was like, we should have a corral of guys that can just come in and make every kick. Like, yeah. It was basically like,
well, I mean, yeah, I mean, those are extra points. That's those are the given, those, you know,
they're not given anymore.
Not anymore, but those are, for those guys, it should be.
Well, none of those were even close.
Oh, no.
Those,
the first one was 20 yards wide,
like
to the
off
right.
The side of his foot. You know,
that's what I'm saying.
And like, the duck hook was really
look,
bad.
I've seen this with my own eyes. One of my very best friends in college was a great catcher, played baseball at St. Edward's, and he got to a stretch where he could not throw the ball back to the pitcher. He couldn't. I mean,
they had to roll it back and everything.
He couldn't. And it was all psychological. I mean, it was completely – and he's the nicest guy in the world. And
he could fire it down
to
second.
He had to fire it to second for someone stealing. It was no problem. But when he had to stand up and throw the ball to the pitcher turned into like a hockey goalie trying to catch the ball. He's like boxing. It's like bouncing. And this is what I fear for Brett Maher, that he is – this is the problem. It's not – it's nothing athletic. He's not hurt. He's not point shaving. He's just – it's in his – it's the yips. You see it in athletics. You see it in golf. Where it's just all of a sudden.
I've been through the putting yips for sure.
Yeah, where you just start, and I feel bad for the player, but at the same time, if you're the team, you got to be concerned because
this started like 3 weeks ago.
That's exactly right.
Up until this point, he was the leading scorer in the NFL this year.
That's exactly right.
Had a great year,
and that's the concern. He missed his only extra point in Washington. He missed the first four last night, and when you go to San Francisco, you need every point. You just can't risk the fact that, well, what if it crops back up again? That's going to be – I don't know what the answer will be. I'm assuming they're going to stick with their kicker.
Either stay with him or just get another kicker. I don't want to have two guys hanging around, one waiting for the other one to screw up.
Well, you hate to get out there and all of a sudden you need a big kick and
I just
you don't trust him.
Yeah, I mean, these extra points last night, it was when are they going for two? I was like, Dak, hey, okay, after the second one. Oh, no, it was after the third – I was after the Whirly Bird hook. That I said, let's just go for two.
Yeah, the first two were pushed wide right.
Oh,
the next one was a duck hook.
I said, okay, go for two. From this point on, you got to go.
And then they ran it back. Because at that point, they were so in control of the game. you're thinking, okay, now they're just trying to get him some confidence. They ran him back out there to miss a fourth.
He made one after that, though.
He made his fifth.
But after he secured the record.
They put him on his shoulders and carry him off?
Yeah. Well, it has to be of concern.
Dad dropped that just an F-bomb. My wife is like, he just said, what the heck, huh? I'm like, that's probably not what he just said.
I'm just saying.
I look like a massive F-bomb.
Psychology and between the ears of athletes, you have to be concerned about it if you're the Cowboys. You're going to San Francisco. You need every single point to win that football game. And you have to trust your kicker. You have to. You can't coach scared in that football game. Like, ooh, what are we going to do? We're going to go for it on fourth? Or would he trust this guy to get out there and make a kick? I would be concerned about that at this point.
No, just stick his ass right back out there and make that kick.
Well, you hope. You hope.
Idiot kicker.
You say that until he misses a couple. And now, well, you've just wasted two possessions in San Francisco, or you've cost yourself.
Are you ready to fire the guy today? I mean, you're in the playoffs. The guy was one of the top kickers.
I'm assuming there will be a meeting.
You can't at this point. I mean, they already said they're not going to.
Okay. Let's hope it doesn't rear its head in San Francisco. These are the biggest games of the year, most important points of the year.
What do they show to kicker if they just go for two immediately?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure there's not just some really good kicker just hanging out there. There
no,
might be.
He's on a team somewhere.
I would check on it. We'll talk about it with you. Certainly of the conversations, it's the only negative you can find on the Cowboys because they were dominant last night, 31-14. If they had a kicker, they would have been 35-14, and the game was not in doubt into the fourth quarter. Without a doubt, Cowboys dominate. We'll get into the Sean Payton situation, confirming that he has interviewed for the Houston Texans job and that he would consider taking it for a lot of the reasons we talked about last week. Also, the Longhorns were the big one tonight. Their toughest road test to date is coming tonight at
Ames, Bill O'Brien gone from Alabama? Alabama's lost their defensive coordinator, or Nick Saban is parted ways with defense and offense.
We'll get you details. Yeah, and we also had all the we were talking yesterday about C.J. Stroud, and yesterday being the final day to declare for the NFL draft, we had a slew of players beat the deadline, including the quarterback at Ohio State, a couple from TCU. We'll get into all that college football conversation as well. Longhorns looking for a wide receivers coach. Get you the latest on that front. First, though,
it's Bucky and Aaron.
Fourth and goal, man in motion left to right. Inside a play action, bootleg to the left. Prescott all the way, runs it in for the touchdown, and he's fired up.
Yeah, Dak Prescott, fifth player with four touchdown passes and a rushing touchdown in a postseason game. That he joins Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, and Tobin Rote. The hell is Tobin Rote? He played quarterback in the NFL? I guess so. Cowboys went 29 years, 364 days between playoff road wins. They got one last night. Today is the 30th anniversary of their previous last road win. Snapped a 8-game road playoff losing streak with that. They beat Tom Brady for the first time last night. So a lot of things to enjoy about last night's ballgame for the Dallas Cowboys. They'll now renew their rivalry with the San Francisco 49ers this Sunday afternoon. Of course, the Niners ended the Cowboys season last year in the month of January. How about Micah Parsons last night? Nine pressures, most anyone has had against Tom Brady in the last five seasons. He was getting after it last night.
Yeah, they put him everywhere last night.
They did, and we talked about that. You were so excited about Leighton Vander Esch being back in the middle.
I was, especially against the run.
That allows them to put Micah Parsons all over the field and utilize him and his weaponize him, essentially, is what they do, and he was tremendous. Tom Brady in those nine pressures by number 11, Tom Brady was 2 of 8 with a sack on those dropbacks and really did very little.
And he could feel him, too, on the backside.
There is no doubt. There is no doubt about that. He was impactful, and so were the Cowboys on the other side. You know, when your best players play great, you have an opportunity. And Dak played really well. Micah Parsons played really well. You know, those are the guys. And I thought the offensive line, they gave Dak wasn't getting touched back there, man. He would drop back and he'd have some time and let those seam routes.
And he moved around in the pocket well.
He did.
After the first two series where he looked rushed, I mean, like mentally, like I got to get rid of it. I got to move. I got to throw this ball quickly. It started to slow down for him a little bit. I think on the third or fourth series when he started to kind of calm down a bit, getting some of those quick throws out of his hands and getting everybody involved. And once he hits Dalton Schultz, then he gets relaxed. Or he dumps something off to Tony Pollard. Then he goes. And I saw Tony Pollard out there as a wide receiver at times.
Yeah, they
why?
That's what we talked about with Kellen Moore and weaponize your best players, and they did. They used Tony Pollard in a lot of roles in a lot of ways, which they're going to have to keep doing. I'll just say this. The book on Dak Prescott is to make him can confuse him, right? You got to make sure he's not comfortable with what he's seeing, and that's when Dak can really struggle. And that was the criticism of the Buccaneers last night and Todd Bowles. They did very little to confuse the quarterback. He knew what they were in pre-snap, and then he was in it at the snap. What you need to do to any quarterback, but certainly Dak, is you want to present one thing pre-snap and then drop into something different after snap, and they weren't doing any of that. Well, and Dak was totally comfortable. That's going to change next week.
Yeah, Tampa doesn't have anybody. They don't have the personnel to be doing all that.
Well, they won a Super Bowl not long ago with those same personnel. That's the confusing part. That team has
they got their center back for the first time this year.
Do you think that was a mistake? Because Jensen didn't play center usually. He was usually a guard.
Was he? I mean, he must have started to see. They sounded like he started off at center this season.
Yeah,
he played the first game.
He played two practices in training camp
and got hurt.
And then this was his first snap of the year.
Wow.
So putting a guy and there were some bad snaps last night.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm talking about the defensive side of the ball. A lot of those same personnel played and won a Super Bowl a couple years ago. They just look
old.
They're just not doing anything. He knew what defense they were in at the snap, and he dropped back, and there they were, that soft zone, and he knew where they were going to be. And his offensive line was doing a great job of stopping the pressure and giving him time.
And their kickers just got to go home and head to the park with the dog. You know what I'm saying? You just get to some uprights. It's not like you need a quarterback and need a couple guys to throw to him on the move. The uprights are there. I know they're not the same as the NFL, but go to the park, take your dog, let the dog crap over there at the 12-yard line, and you just kick. You got 100 balls. They'll give them to you.
You got 6 days to figure it out.
Boy, do you ever.
Well, I'm playing psychologist on the radio, but I've seen it before. He can do it all week in practice. It's really going to be when the game starts. Well, can he line up and make those kicks? Or do the demons creep in?
God, he looked like a bad guy at the driving range. Those two pushed to the right. I mean, the one was 20 yards away from the outside pole. Like 20 yards to the right, not like it just missed the upright. I mean,
first two were that wide.
I've seen that. I've
first
kicked one
were,
like that. I mean,
and then the duck hook left.
Oh,
that's
the whirly bird duck hook.
Well, you hope it doesn't present a problem next week. But I think psychologically you can practice all week and make all your kicks, and doesn't mean it won't crop back up next Sunday in San Francisco. I would also say this: the over/under in that game, 45.5. 45.5. What was the final score? 31-14. What is that? 45.
Oh, wait, so the Bucks over-under was 40? That game was 45?
45.5. If he makes one more of those extra points, they go over.
Point shaving.
If he makes one more of the extra points, they go over.
Ty said he was point shaving early.
Oh, that's rough if you had the 45.5 and it was four missed extra points. Any one of them would have put you over and got you 46. Instead, you're stuck on 45 and the hook. Ugly.
Well, I felt really good about that game last night.
You did.
I mean, just...
And you don't feel good about this week.
I do not.
I do.
I do not.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Different animal, but yes. I mean, the 49ers beat the Cowboys 1 year ago. I think the 49ers are better than they were a year ago, but I also think the Cowboys are better than they were 1 year ago.
There's no doubt about the Cowboys being better. It's just the 49ers are – I think they're just catching their stride right now. I mean, you know how reaching that crescendo, I just feel like that's what they're doing. I don't know if the Cowboys – are quite at their crescendo. Well, I think they're still working at it.
Brock Purdy, if he has a bad start like he did last week against a terrible Seattle defense, I don't think he'll be able to recover in game.
Well, here's what bad starts are. Bad starts are picks. Those are what bad starts are.
If Diggs or one of these guys can get a pick in the first, or maybe two picks in the first half, I could see Purdy kind of breaking down and trying to force it.
Well, that's obviously the goal for Dan Quinn, is to force Brock Purdy into some bad throws. But he has been up to every task so far. And he, the bad start last week was really just a little bit inaccurate to start the game, whether it was the wet ball or whatever it was. But he really locked in and ended up, very similar stat line to Dak Prescott. I mean, he was really good in the win over, the division rival. And of course,
Kyle Shanahan will continue to help him out.
He
can
will.
Kellen Moore continue to help Dak out?
And it's a 49ers team that's added Christian McCaffrey since last year. I mean, that's one of the best players in this league. He's healthy. He has, added a piece to that offense that is just. I mean, he's one of the most dynamic playmakers in the game, and you now added him to the team that had a bunch of dynamic playmakers already. The young quarterback obviously becomes the focus, but Kyle Shanahan will do a good job of, using those weapons. It becomes a heck of a challenge. It's a heavyweight matchup without a doubt. And as we said, three teams out of the NFC East into the divisional round. First division to have that since 2002, 21 years, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles. All into the Final Four of the NFC. We'll come back. We will get into those Coach's Corner conversations. Sean Payton. Interviewing with the Texans. What does that mean? What would it take to get him as far as a trade goes? Because he's still under contract at the Saints. Also, you asked about Alabama, Buck. Alabama could be losing to Bill O'Brien, their offensive coordinator. They lost their defensive coordinator. We'll get you details on that front and the other coaching conversations of the morning. Mike McCarthy did a heck of a job last night. Longhorns looking for a wide receivers coach. Get you the latest on that front. And Rodney Terry and the Longhorns have a big one tonight at Ames, Iowa. We'll preview the Big 12 matchup in Ames coming back. It's a busy Tuesday, and we're just getting started. 1 hour into four. We're glad you're with us on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're always streaming. Take us wherever you go digitally on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com.